Hello, I'm Mike Salem. My dad, Pastor Salem, loved to spread the good news of Jesus to provide hope and encouragement to people all over the world through his biblical teachings and sermons. You will experience that truth from God's Word in today's message. Now let's join Pastor Salem.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. Another week has rolled by, and don't they come and go? But you want to know something? One of these days, Jesus is going to come, and will we ever have a great time worshiping the Lord and being with the Lord, and we'll see him face to face. I can hardly wait. But until then, we're going to spread the good news of the gospel that people come to know Jesus and that the people of God will be comforted and strengthened. The sermon today is going to be about the Savior as the Lamb of God, and we're thinking about coming into Palm Sunday and Easter and all. And so now we're looking at him being crucified, dying for us on the old rugged cross. But before I do bring the message today, I want to share some of the letters. And we just get so many nice letters. And I thought, well, people kind of like to hear these letters. And then I think one person said they'd rather hear the letters than the sermon. And I shall tell you, that went in the garbage in a hurry. But I want to share some of the letters. The first one is from Bronx, New York. And this lady writes, I don't know your name. I was just catching the last of your sermon. I like the way you praise the Lord. Oh my, you gave God his praise. I like hearing worship of Jesus in God's name. You took me there in just a few words. I only saw maybe 10 minutes of the program, yet I felt as though I'd been lifted. I enjoyed every minute. I've never written to anybody for their sermons. This is my first letter. I've never seen you before. I'll look for your sermons now. God bless you in Jesus' name. Pray for me and my family. And I thought when I read that, we're going to get together in heaven. I'm going to see her in heaven. And you know why she was lifted by the sermon? It's the Word of God. That's where the power is. The power isn't in the speaker. I'm just a kind of a conduit pipe to spew out the Word of God. And it's the Word of God. That's where the power is, and that's where the blessing is, and that is where the emphasis is in our services. Here's Traverse City, Michigan. I don't know how to spell the word suicide. I was always bad when I was in school. Please send the booklet on suicide. I talk to God. I bawl him out and tell him I'm sorry. Then I tell him I'm sorry. People look like I'm crazy, like I'm sorry for swearing or saying something bad about someone. Pray for my daughter. She's in pain all the time. Thank you. Love and prayers. And this lady's talking about a little book that I've got entitled, If a Christian Commits Suicide, Can He Go to Heaven? And the answer is absolutely yes. And I'm going to give the address in just a minute here. I'll give a couple more letters. So you get your pencil ready, and if you like to get it, it's free and postpaid, except we like to have an offering if you can help us a little bit with that. Now, here's a letter from Sioux Falls, South Dakota. I know you're familiar with sheep, so here's a sheep story. The teacher asked little Eddie a question. She said, Eddie, if I had 20 sheep in a pen, let 5 out, how many would be left? Eddie said, none. Teacher said, Eddie, you don't know your math. Eddie said, teacher, maybe not. You don't know sheep. That is so true. And you know, God says we're like sheep gone astray. Well, the sheep will follow each other even if it means their death. They just follow. They don't even look. They just follow. And the Washington Post had a story about a village in Givas in eastern Turkey. And while the shepherds were having their breakfast, one of the sheep jumped over off of a 45-foot cliff, and all of the rest followed him. And 1,500 sheep jumped off of that cliff. Now, that's sheep. They're dumb, and they're wandering, and they follow others to destruction. God says, all you like sheep have gone astray. And so that's why we preach we've got the good shepherd, and he'll take us into his fold and into his flock. Let me give you one more that I have here. Marshalltown, Iowa. I shared your DVDs with others, have gotten others to watch your show. Some of these friends have passed away with peace from your show, leading them to Christ. And so that's what we're all about. We want you to come to Jesus and know Jesus. And so if you'd like to help us in this work, or if you'd like this book on suicide, you write to us, and its address is easy. It's Christian Worship Hour, Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And so we'd love to hear from you, and we need to have your support. We need to have your help. Now, I just urge you also to take that address and write to us. We'd love to hear from you. Where do you live? How are you getting along? Do you have a prayer request? Is there something you'd like to hear in a sermon or what? Who knows? And so we read every letter we get, so I hope that we'll hear from you. And those of you on shortwave radio, it's the Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, or christianworshiphour.com, and you can get us that way. So I hope that you'll write. We'd love to hear from you. Now we want to talk about the Savior as the Lamb of God. And we've been having a series. We started out with a sermon, just the sermon, The Beautiful Savior, Jesus. And he is beautiful. And the more you get to know him, the more beautiful he is. And I've known him for 85 years. 85 years! And every year he's more wonderful and more beautiful. And I love him more. And boy, I failed him 1,000 times over. But he never got rid of me. He never cast me away. He loves me, and he loves you. And you say, oh, I got a lot of sins. He wouldn't love me. He came for sinners. I've come to save the sinners, Jesus said, those who are lost. And he loves you, and he wants you to come to Jesus and accept him as your Savior. And so I'll talk about that in just a few minutes here now. So you just plan on opening your heart to Jesus. And so we did preach about the Savior as the Lamb of God, and that's going to be today. And then next Sunday, we're going to have a Palm Sunday sermon about Jesus as the King and how we can serve the King. And then the next Sunday is Easter Sunday, the Savior, the risen Christ. And what a boy do I love to preach on Easter Sunday. But today, we're looking at Jesus as the Lamb of God. And you know something? Before the world foundation of the earth, Jesus was appointed to die. He's appointed to die on the cross. God hasn't even formed the earth. He hasn't created Adam and Eve, but he knows, God knows everything. God knows all the future, every detail of the future. And God knew that he would create Adam and then he would create Eve. And he knew that they would sin. And God knew that if you had sin, you could never be with God in heaven, not one speck. And so God said, before he ever created the earth or the heavens or anybody or anything, he said, I will make a way of escape for them. I'll send my son, Jesus, and he'll pay for their sins with his own blood. That was all done before the earth was ever created. Can you imagine it? He loved us before. He knew we were going to sin, but he loved us. He made us and formed us. And so this wonderful God, Jesus, comes, and he sees that Jesus is going to have to die on a cruel cross. And so it was. He was born of the Virgin Mary. He grew to manhood. He taught his lessons and performed his miracles. He completed his ministry. And after all that was done, Jesus says, the hour has come. The time has come. And what was he talking about? He was talking about the cross, the old rugged cross. That's really what Jesus came for, the old rugged cross, to die for our sins and pay for our sins. And so in this 19th chapter of St. John's Gospel, we have the story pointed out that this wonderful son came, and how the our heart just aches when we think about Jesus going to the cross, that precious, wonderful, perfect, sinless Jesus, and our heart aches. How do you think the Father in heaven felt when he saw his son going? And you know, the Bible says God is touched by our infirmities. And when Jesus suffered, he suffered. And listen, friend, if you're a child of God, when you suffer and you're hurting, he hurts with you. He's touched by our infirmities. He knows everything you're going through. And he loves you. And he'll help you. And he'll never forsake you. And so this chapter starts out, and it talks about how that Pilate is here, and he examines Jesus. And he examines Jesus, and then he comes out to the group. All of these people want to crucify him. And Pilate comes out and he says, I find no fault in him at all. And that's in John 18, verse 38. He says, I find he's innocent. He says, I declare him not guilty. That's exactly what Pilate said. But the crowd was in a crazy mood, and they want him crucified. And so then Pilate, he's a coward, see? He's a sneaking coward. He isn't a man at all. And so then Pilate says, well, wait a minute, before we crucify anybody. Every time we have this crucifixion on the Passover, we free somebody. We set some robber free. Now we got a fella here, Barabbas. He's a notorious murderer. He's as dirty as they come. He's horrible. And here we have Jesus, the innocent carpenter from Nazareth. And he says, who do you want? Do you want Barabbas or do you want Jesus? Who shall I set free? And what do you know? Old Pilate about died. The people scream back and say, crucify Jesus, let Barabbas go. Can you imagine it? And so then Pilate did something that was so terrible. It was awful. It was wicked. And we read in the scriptures, you know what he did? He says, I find no guilt in him. I find that he's innocent. He's free. He has no sin. There's nothing marked against him. And they have the cry. And so what does Pilate do? He says, I'll give him to you to scourge him. And it's the innocent man. He's going to scourge him. And I'm going to tell you that horrible thing was an awful thing, that scourging, because this wonderful Jesus went to that into that chambers with those Roman soldiers. The Romans are the Gentiles. The Jews were there. The Gentiles were there big time because the Jews couldn't touch anybody. It was the Roman, the Gentiles that did it, and somebody else was there. You were there and I were there. I was there because our sins put him there. So don't be blaming people. We're to blame with our own wickedness. And so here they are, and this Lord Jesus Christ. And then they scourge him. And behold, he says, I'm bringing him out to you that you may know that I find no fault in him. And then he brings out Jesus. And Jesus has been scourged and he's been tortured. And he's bleeding and he's suffering and he's humiliated and he's wearing a crown of thorns. And I've seen those thorns, they're razor sharp and they're about 3 inches long and they make a crown and they jam it down on your head and pierce your skin and the blood flows out. Oh my God, how can they do that? And then they put a vermin-infested purple robe over his lacerated back and then they mock him and say, Hail, King of the Jews. Oh, my good Lord, how can they do such a thing? And here's Pilate is hoping against hope in his heart that now the crowd will see that the innocent Jesus, he's scourged and he's lacerated, he's bleeding, he's thorn-crowned, he's bruised, he's humiliated. Oh, Pilate is hoping in his heart the crowd will set him free. And so Pilate cries out, Behold the man! And as they looked upon the spectacle, what did they see? Did they set him free? No, the whole crowd, thousands cried, crucify him, crucify him. My God, how can that be? But it is, it's in the scriptures. And so Pilate is at his wit's end. And you know why he's at his wit's end? Because he's a big chicken. He's a big coward. He won't stand up for what he knows is right. And he's just at his wit's end. And his knuckles are turning white. And he doesn't know what to do. He's vacillated all over the place. And then here he gets a note from his wife. At least she had some sense. And a lot of times the wife has sense when the husband doesn't, coming to Jesus. Because the wife almost always comes to Jesus first. I don't know why. I'll get into that a little bit later. But here he is. And so then he gets a note and his wife says, Have thou nothing to do with that just man? I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him. And she had had that dream and she had seen him as a sinless, perfect son of God. And she's writing herself to Pilate. He says, Don't you dare have anything to do with this. You set him free. But old chicken coward Pilate, oh, he's scared. He sees the people. You know, there are some preachers like that. They don't preach about hell. They don't preach about the wrath of God. They don't preach about separation. And they are living a separated, consecrated life. They don't preach about giving 10% to God. They don't want to offend anybody. And they're scared. God sent his prophet, old Jeremiah. And he said to Jeremiah, he says, I want you to go and preach to the people. And this is what I want you to preach. And this is what he said. Jeremiah 1, verse 8. Do not be afraid of their faces. They're going to scowl. That's one good thing about television. I can't see you. I don't know what you're doing. And I really don't care. I just hope you're listening. I hope you accept Jesus and get straightened out. That's all I care. But you can stick your tongue out. You can do anything you want. And I don't even see you. So see? But Jeremiah has to see him face to face. Pilate has to see him face to face. And God pity the Roman governor or the village preacher or whoever it is that's scared of people's faces. Let me tell you something about people. They're fickle. You can't count on them for 2 cents worth. And I've had them, oh, they thought that was the most wonderful sermon. They patted me on the back. They even put some money in the offering plate. Didn't give me any, but they put it in the offering plate. And, oh, they were so happy and everything. Next Sunday, I preach some, oh, maybe I preach about hell. Maybe I preach about you should give at least 10%, maybe more to the Lord. And believe me, they were done with me. Fickle. You can't count on people. Let me tell you something. I talk to young pastors. And I tell them two things. I tell them of several things, but I tell them two things for sure. I tell them, first of all, preach the Word of God. That's where the power is, see. When I preach the Word of God, when I use the Bible, I can preach with authority. I don't have to say, well, it could be, it might be, I hope it is, so on. I says, this is the way it is, period, Buster. And you buy it or you don't buy it, but that's it. I have authority. And another thing I tell him is, don't count on people because they can turn on you in a minute's time. And don't try to please people. Please God. It's easier to please God than it is to please people. I've been preaching almost 72 years, and I can give you many, many stories. I can satisfy Jesus. I can preach a sermon, and I didn't do very well. And they're worrying about it, and they get all worked up about it. They didn't say they had that sermon, didn't keep them awake or something. I don't know. God only knows. And they don't like this, and they don't like that. And they want a preacher that's going to be perfect. Oh, you can't make a mistake. I can make a mistake all the time I want, but you better not make a mistake. And there they are. And some of these preachers, we do make mistakes. Can admit it, see? But this wonderful Jesus, I accepted Jesus when I was 10 years old. Now, here I am, almost 95, in just a few days. Now, if I make it that long, if God doesn't take me home or somebody doesn't shoot me, I don't know. Who knows? But anyway, I can tell you that Jesus, he has grace, and he has love, and he has mercy. And when we fail him, when we ask him to forgive us, he helps us and takes us along. And so Pilate gives him up, and here he is. They crucified Jesus. And they take him away. He has to bear his cross. And as far as we can tell, it was from the praetorium to the place of a skull was about a mile. And Jesus carries his cross, but he can't do it. And then sometimes they would have him just carry the cross beam. But here they take Simon of Cyrene, and he is to carry the cross. Jesus is too emaciated and sick and worn out and beaten and half dead. And there he is struggling to even to live. And Pilate writes over his cross. He says, Jesus, this is Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. He wrote it in three languages, Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Hebrew, the language of religion. Greek, the language of philosophy. And Latin, the language of the law. And they put him there, and he's crucified. Oh, my God. But today, that awful cross, we look back and we see, the apostles didn't hardly talk about it. They just told the facts of the crucifixion, and they didn't even want to talk about it anymore. They didn't go any details, even as much as I'm doing today. They just said, these are the facts, this is what happened. They didn't want to think about it or talk about it. And it was so horrible and cruel. But what do we do today? The cross, the old rugged cross. We love the cross. We glory in the cross. What did St. Paul say? Galatians 6, verse 14. God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That cross is beautiful. That thing that was so horrible and terrible is now so beautiful. The women wear crosses, whether they know what this cross stands for or not. They wear these crosses. And we all love the cross, the old rugged cross. and I preach nothing. Paul says, we preach Christ crucified. How come there is the big change? Jesus, Jesus, beautiful Jesus. He died there for you and for me. He had no sins of his own. And he took that horrible, hideous thing. And when Christianity wanted a symbol, they could have had the manger. They could have had a boat that he preached from. They could have had the bread. They could have had the fish. They could have had a lot of symbols. But what did they pick to represent the Christian faith? The cross. The cross of Christ. Because if you don't have the cross and the shed blood of Jesus Christ, you don't have a hope out of hell. There's only one way. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Recently, I read a story of how they had a Christmas play in a maximum security prison. The worst offenders, murderers and robbers and rapists and all the rest were there. And the prisoners themselves were going to have this story of the coming of the Lord Jesus. And so they can't bring anything outside the prison. Whatever they're going to use for props, it has to be in the prison. So they get a mop, and that's going to be the hair for Mary. They have a ski mask with cotton balls glued on socks, and that was the sheep. And an old cardboard box was used for the cradle. Everything was falling in place, and all the prisoners were excited. They're going to have this coming of the Lord Jesus, this nativity scene. Then all of a sudden somebody said, what are we going to use for a baby? And there's no possible way to get a baby into that prison. What are we going to do? And the last minute the chaplain came in, wrapped something up, and they had their program. And when it came time to unwrap the baby and open up the little cloth and let them see the baby, they opened up the cloth and it was a cross. The cross that the chaplain had in his office, wrapped up in a blanket. Well, wouldn't you know it? That's exactly what Jesus was. The cross was wrapped up in that blanket with him. The cross was no afterthought with God, my friend. That was planned before man was ever made or ever sinned. And when you have the cross in the blanket with the Savior, that's right. So the question is, what are you going to do about it? You have to come to Jesus. Cecil Alexander wrote about the cross. She put it like this. There is a green hill far away without a city wall, where the dear Lord was crucified, who died to save us all. We may not know, we cannot tell what pains he had to bear, but we believe it was for us he hung and suffered there. He died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good. So that might go at last to heaven, saved by his precious blood. There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. Oh, dearly, dearly has he loved, and we must love him too, and trust in his redeeming blood and try his works to do. Friend, I want to tell you something. Jesus went to that cross for you. What are you going to do with the cross? Many of you worshiping with us have clung to the old rugged cross, and you've asked Jesus to come into your heart, and this is what he wants you to do. He paid for your sins, but it won't do a bit of good unless you accept Jesus Christ. As many as received him, Jesus, to them gave he power to become the children of God. You're not a child of God till you accept Jesus, John 1:12. And so how do you accept Jesus? Well, in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. So you have, there's some of you right now, and Jesus is knocking at your heart's door, and he's saying, I want to come into your life. I want to take away your sin. I want to change your life. I want you to turn from your evil ways and to walk with me and serve me and help others. And what you need to do is just say, dear Jesus, please come into my heart and take away my sin. And I'll forsake that sin the best I can. I'm going to fail, Lord. But when I do, I'm going to get up and ask forgiveness and go on. And so just come into my heart, dear Jesus. And then thank him. Thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul. Thank you for writing my name on the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank you for placing me in your precious body. I'm a part of the body of Christ. Thank you for helping me. I'm born again and I belong to you. thank him and then tell somebody what you did. And you men, you tell your wife. She's probably been praying for you forever. And you've been stubborn. You won't budge. I don't know why the women come first. Almost always they come to Jesus first. Now you come if he's knocking at your heart's door. And to all of you, I want to say this. We need your help to carry on this work. If you think it's something that's worthwhile, if you think it's something we ought to do, then you need to write to us. You write to us at the Christian Worship Hour, and the box is 2002 Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, or you can get us christianworshiphour.com. We need to hear from you. We're going to carry on as long as God provides, and so it has to be through his people. And so I'm just praying now, and every week we pray for our brothers and sisters in some place that are being tormented and suffering, and today we're praying North Korea. So Heavenly Father, we pray for our brothers and sisters in North Korea. We pray not for those who have been beheaded or died, because they're in your presence and they wear the martyr's crown and they're with you in glory. Oh, glory be. But we pray for the mothers and the fathers and the wives and the little children. Oh, God, come quickly. And then we pray, Lord, for all who are listening in today. And they're thinking about, should I ask Jesus in my heart? I know he wants to come into my life. He loves me. He died for me. Help them to pray, to put pride and arrogance or whatever it is, and just accept you. And then that you'll help them in their life. And to those who are on beds of sickness, Lord, and those who are shut in, and those who are aged, those who are in wheelchairs and walkers and God knows what, just help them to know that you are there. And help them to be prayer warriors and to pray for the kingdom of God and to pray for the Christian Worship Hour and to witness wherever they are and shine for Jesus. That's why they're there. They're there to serve you. Bless them all. Bless us all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we thank you all for standing by. We've had some people now been helping us almost 40 years. We need your help. We need your prayers. And then you pray for us, and we need your letters. Write into us. We'd love to hear from you. And we can, maybe there's something we can help you with. And if you have a question, a spiritual question, we try to answer that for you. But whatever it is, here we are. We're here because we love Jesus, and we love you, and God loves you. And no matter what you've done or where you are or who you are, even if you sinned against light, he loves you. But you got to accept him now. You can't accept him after the grave. It's got to be before the grave. So before you go, and you may go anytime, come to Jesus. Trust Jesus. In his wonderful name we preach and teach and pray and love. Amen.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.